are on page 177. We're at the bottom paragraph, and we're talking about the virtues of living in Eretz Yisrael, where the Khazar king had said, okay, you've already explained to me how scripture itself, the Tanakh, glorifies Eretz Yisrael. Tell me some of the words of the sages. He said, because the Khuzari had said, the rabbi had said that, you know, the words of the rabbis are too numerous to mention. So he said, well, tell me what you remember. Tell me some of the greatest hits of the rabbis as far as their words of praise of Eretz Yisrael. So on the bottom paragraph, subparagraph 3, he says, they further said, it is always better for one to live in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city which is mostly non-Jewish, than to live outside of Eretz Yisrael, even in a city which is mostly Jewish. So you're better off living in Nazareth than in Muncie or in Flatbush. Okay? So even though Nazareth is a city which is an Arab, completely Arab city, or Bethlehem, it may not be safe to live in those cities. There may be an issue of that it's usher to put yourself in a makom sakana. But assuming, let's say you wanted to live in a Druze village, and that was the only place you could live, better that you should live in a Druze village in Eretz Yisrael than to live in a very, very Jewish city in Chutz Laaretz. This is really straight from the Gemara. And the question is, of course, why? I mean, isn't it better to have a communal sense of Yiddishkeit than to live in a city that is almost completely idolatrous inside of Eretz Yisrael? Why? No, because for anyone who dwells in Eretz Yisrael is like someone who has a god, and anyone who dwells outside of Eretz Yisrael is like someone who has no god. As it says in reference to King David, they have driven me away today from cleaving to Hashem's heritage, saying, go worship other gods. This is when David HaMelech was being pursued by King Shaul, and he was temporarily forced to leave Eretz Yisrael proper. So he wasn't forced to worship other gods, but the very fact that he was forced to flee from Eretz Yisrael is itself, in a sense, being forced to worship false gods. And what we're going to do today is, I just wanted to elaborate on this point. We'll see from the Ramban on Chumash how we can elaborate on this. This shows that anyone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael is like someone who worships other gods. And this is really the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi comments about this, but it's important for us to try and understand what exactly are our sages telling us? What do Chazal actually mean when they say that when you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you have no God? Now, we could certainly understand it as a figure of speech. The fact that you live outside of Eretz Yisrael is sort of like you're accepting some foreignness upon you. You're distancing yourself from Hashem's designated place, His chosen land, and therefore it's almost akin to idolatry. But the Ramban takes it much more literally, and there's a very, very important piece from the Ramban on Chumash in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Acharei Mos, that I think it's worthwhile for us to look at together just for a few minutes. The handout's been circulating. There are extra copies. If anyone hasn't gotten a copy yet, there should be some extra copies circulating around. So, yes.
I remember reading from Rabbi Cook, he mentioned that rather you live among idolaters than righteous people. That was his comparison. When it came to living in Israel.
Rather live in Israel amongst idolaters than live among righteous people. Yes.
Because you need a community, you need to live among righteous.
Everyone needs a sense of community, exactly. So but Rav Kook was basing it, it's directly a quote from the Talmud. So the question is why? What is this imperative of living in Eretz Israel? So let's explain. Now Baruch Hashem, today you're not faced with that dichotomy of a challenge. No one can say, well, because of the statement of the rabbis, I will live in a Druze village in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, obviously, if you have a choice to make aliyah, then you would choose to live in a place where your community would be a positive influence, right? Personally, I feel that we as American Jews or Canadian Jews have a responsibility to go to a place where we can be influential to others. If we're going to make Aliyah, we should be influential. And so therefore, the best thing is to move to a community where you have a shul, where you can find a minion of Jews, but don't move to a place where, like, everyone's the same. That's not, you're not fulfilling a great purpose there. Fine, you're in Eretz Yisrael, but you got to get out there and help other Jews. Yes.
Yeah, but that's for people like Rabbanim and stuff. But the
what
regular.
What do you mean, Rabbanim?
Like us, like I'm not influential. Sure.
Of course you are. Don't sell yourself short, Nanette. Of course you are. You can be a tremendous influence of a positive force.
To go to a place where people are less religious and try to influence them?
Sure, of course. Or at least the mixed neighborhoods, like somewhere in Tel Aviv or Ranana or wherever, you know, these other places where you can be a positive influence. That's what's going on in Israel today. There's this renaissance of people, of Israelis who recognize, you know, let's not stay cloistered in the shtetl. Let's get out there. There's so many Jews that we can influence. So we should try to, you know, be a force of good, force for good, and be a dugma. You don't even have to, you know, it's not like you have to knock on doors and shove humintash in people's faces, but it's you know, just to be a dugma, just to be a positive example of this is what a religious Jew is like, and we're not here to throw rocks at you or to criticize you. We just want to love you just because you're our brother or our sister. Okay, anyway, that's for another time. We have a lot of ground to cover today. Let's take a look at the Ramban. It's in Parshas Acharimos at the very end. The Torah tells us something very interesting. There's the Parsha known as the Parsha of Arayot, which are the forbidden relationships, all of the incestuous relationships, homosexuality, bestiality, all of this. These prohibitions are mentioned in the Torah in Leviticus chapter 18. And then the Torah says something very strange. It says, don't do these things. You know why? Because the nations that are living currently in the land of Canaan did these kinds of behaviors. And then it says, Vatitmaha aretz, the earth that was underneath their feet became defiled. Va'efkod avona aleha vataki haaretz. And I visited the iniquity of their sin upon them, and the earth, or the land of Israel, vomited them out of the land. And therefore, in order to make sure that you are not spit out of the land of Israel also, you must not do these things. And of course, what's bothering Ramban, Nachmanides, is that what are these forbidden relationships, incest, what does that have to do with living in Eretz Yisrael? This is a law that is applicable no matter where I as a Jew live. So why does the Torah create a linkage between incest and all the forbidden relationships and living in Eretz Yisrael? Let's take a look. We may not be able to get through the whole Ramban today. This is actually an edited version. It's even longer than what you see in front of you. But let's take a look. He says, Vatitma ha'aretz va'efkod avona aleha vataki ha'aretz, etc. Hechmira katuv ba'arayot. The reason why scripture is so stringent when it comes to the arayos, ba'avor ha'aretz shetitma bahen vataki ha'nefashot ha'osot, because of the land which becomes defiled thereby and vomits out those who perform these despicable acts. V'hinei ha'arayot chovat ha'guf ve'inan tluyot ba'aretz. This is the Ramban's question. He says, this is a personal responsibility upon every Jew, regardless of where you live. Why then does the Torah link it to living in Eretz Yisrael? Aval sod ha'davar bakatuv she'amar, the secret of the matter, the deeper meaning, can be found in the following pasuk in Devarim. Behanchel elyon goyim behafrido b'nei adam. It says in Parshas Ha'azinu that when God, the Elyon, the lofty one, split up the land to give it to different nations, Yatsev givulat amim, he set up different borders for different nations, and he allotted the land of Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, ki chelek Hashem amo, that he gave the portion of real estate which is God's to his nation. V'ha'inyan. Let me explain to you what that pasuk means. Ki Hashem ha'nichbad bara hakol. Because God created everything. V'sam koach ha'tachtonim ba'elyonim. And he placed a certain spiritual fiber within everything that exists in this physical realm. There is this, a linkage between the spiritual dimensions and the physical dimension. V'natan al kol am va'am be'artzotam legoyehem kochav u'mazal yadua ka'asher noda be'itztag ninut. God placed in upon every single nation and in every single land, he assigned a certain star, or what's known as mazel, a certain constellation, a certain intermediary force where God basically says, nation X is under the tutelage of mazel X. Nation Y and their land is under the tutelage of mazel Y. God set up a system of celestial intermediaries to supervise and attend to the needs and watch over the needs of all the different nations on all of their respective lands. V'zehu shenamar, and that's why Scripture says, Asher chalak Hashem Elokecha otam l'chol ha'amim, that God has split up all of these other idolatrous forces to the other nations. Ki chalak l'kulam mazalot b'shamayim, that God allotted these intermediary forces to these other nations. U'gavoyim aleihem malachei elyon netanam liotam sarim aleihem. Above the celestial forces, God created angelic forces that supervise this chain. Now we don't need to get bogged down in the technical description of these metaphysics, because that's really beyond the realm of our discussion. You know, how the Ramban understands this intermediary system where there's God that presides above all, and then you have an angelic sphere, and then you have a celestial sphere, and it links down towards this world. And then he quotes a pasuk in Daniel, and let's go on to the next paragraph. V'hine Hashem ha'nichbad hu Elokei ha'elokim, va'adonei ha'adonim l'chol ha'olam. Now God is the God of all other gods. Now what does it mean, God is the God of gods? We say this, Mi chamocha ba'ilim Hashem, right? What does it mean? Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Do we believe in multiple deities? When we say Mi chamocha ba'ilim Hashem, or that God is Elokei ha'Elohim, we mean that he is the ultimate supervisor of all of the other intermediary forces, angelic and celestial, that he has created in this world. Aval Eretz Yisrael, emtsa'ut ha'yishuv, hi nachalat Hashem miyuchedet lishmo. But Eretz Yisrael is the exception to all, to this rule of this hierarchical system that I have just detailed for you. It is God's inheritance. It is the ultimate objective of real estate. And therefore, lo natan aleha min hamalachim katzin shoter umosher umoshel bahanchilo ota le'amo hamiyuchad shemo HaMiyuchad Shemo Zera Ohavav. That God did not place any intermediary forces between himself and his nation Israel and Eretz Yisrael. This, by the way, is a theme that comes up in the words of Chazal in a number of places. The Ramban is not innovating this idea. He is really just distilling an idea that is articulated in the Midrash in a number of different ways. For example, there's a midrash that tells us that this was exactly what Jacob's dream was, the dream of the sulam, of the ladder. Because the sages tell us that what does Yaakov see? He sees angels going up and down the ladder, and then God tells Yaakov, now it's your turn to go up and down the ladder. And what does that mean? Like, what is the message of the, what is the midrash telling us? That what Hashem was telling Yaakov is that I don't have direct interaction with this world. I use these angels to interact with this world, except when it comes to you, Yaakov. You get on the ladder, because you are, there is no angelic intermediary between me and you. When it comes to the Jewish people, you are the surrogate for that angelic force. The Jewish people themselves are in direct contact with Hashem. And Eretz Yisrael, therefore, is in direct contact with Hashem. And we see this reflected in a number of psukim in the Chumash. Tamid einei Hashem Elokecha ba, that God's eyes are always upon the land of Israel. Unlike other lands where God has a supervisory role, but above intermediary forces. So, let's continue along and see what the Ramban says. He says, "Vizehu shenei she'amar," and that's why Scripture says, "Visim li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol haaretz," that you shall be to me a treasure among all other nations, which is what Hashem says in Parshas Yisro before he gives the Ten Commandments. Why? Because the whole land is mine, the whole earth is mine, and I need to create a special place and a special nation which resides on that place, which is different from the rest of the world. It says in Yirmiyah, "You shall be to me as a nation, and I shall be to you as a God." Not that you should have any relationship with any other gods. Meaning, gods over here means what? What does he mean by gods in this context? There's intermediary angelic forces. V'hinei kideish ha'am ha'yoshev bi'artzo b'kdushat ha'arayot uv'rovei ha'mitzvot lihiyotam lishmo. And therefore, God sanctifies the nation that's going to be living on this special land with the sanctity of this kind of chastity of not engaging in these forbidden relationships, and all, as well as all other mitzvot that have to be done for God's sake. Ulakach amar ushmartem et kol chukotai ve'et kol mishpatai va'asitem otam ve'lo taki etchem ha'aretz. Therefore, at the end, in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, "Observe all of my statutes and all of my laws and do them, lest the earth spit you out." Same idea. If you want to be able to inherit this land, I have to. You understand that I'm giving it to you because I have separated you from among the other nations. Yomar ki hivdil otanu mikol ha'amim asher natan aleihem sarim ve'elohim acherim. God is telling us, you know how I made you different? All the other nations have intermediary forces that watch over them, but I have made you different. B'tito lanu et ha'aretz she'yehu yitbarach lanu le'elokim v'niyeh miyuchadim lishmo. I gave you this land so that I could be directly your God. V'hinei ha'aretz she'hinachalat Hashem ha'nichbat ha'ki kol mitamei otah v'lo tisbol ovdei avodah zarah u'megalim arayot. And that's why there's a connection to our behavior and to our ability to remain on the land. It's because Hashem is directly there. Hashem is directly connected to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there is much less tolerance of untoward behavior, of behavior that Hashem says is antithetical to holiness, when we are living in Eretz Yisrael. Because God is right there without any intermediary. That, he says, is the connection between the forbidden actions that are described in Leviticus 18, and the land will spit us out if we do those acts. So I'm skipping a few lines because there's a lot of more material here. There's just too much for us to be able to cover. He says, "V'hinei b'chutz la'aretz, afal pi shehakol l'shem hanichbad, ein tahara ba'shalema." He says, outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though everything could be done for God's name, and you could be a very pious person, ein tahara bashlema, you can never achieve full purity. Ba'avur ha-misharetim ha-moshlim aleha ve-ha-amim to'im acharei sarehem la'avod gamotam. He says for two reasons. Number one, the intermediary forces that are there that deny you a direct pipeline to God on some metaphysical level. Don't ask me to quantify this. This is an unquantifiable principle. I cannot tell you that you're going to feel different when you are in Eretz Yisrael, automatically that you're going to feel, I feel directly connected to Hashem now, and in Chutz La'aretz I don't feel it. I don't know that it's not necessarily something that you can feel, but he's saying that this is a metaphysical reality. And he says, but furthermore, there's another problem, and that is that since the other nations, this is their home turf, it is their domain, and it is therefore their dominion that they have over this land, they will invariably be a negative influence upon any Jew who lives in Chutz La'aretz. Not because you live next door to an idolater. You can live in Flatbush and still be adversely influenced by the very soil that you live upon because it is under the dominion of an idolatrous force that has sort of saturated the soil of that land. The Ramban is speaking purely on a metaphysical level. It's not something that anyone can particularly detect. So he says, Vihine, let's go on to the next paragraph. Vihine Hashem anichbad itbarach Elokei ha'Elohim b'chol ha'olam v'Elokei Eretz Yisrael shehi nachalat Hashem. He says, God is the God of all forces in all of the world, but he is the God specifically of Eretz Yisrael, which is devoid of an intermediary. V'zehu ta'am v'zana acharei Elohei nechar ha'aretz. And therefore the Torah says that if you are outside of Eretz Yisrael, you shall stray after the gods, false gods of a foreign land. Ki ha'elohus nochrim ba'aretz Hashem v'nachalato. Because intermediary forces are foreign to the land of God. V'zehu shenemar lo yadu et mishpat Elokei ha'aretz, v'yishalach bam et ha'arayot, v'hinam mimitim otam kasher einam yodim et mishpatei Elokei ha'aretz. There's a story in Sefer Melachim which talks about the Kutim, who were either Samaritans or some other tribe that converted to Judaism under false pretenses. And they still maintained a behavior that was somewhat idolatrous. And as a result, the scripture records that they did not know the rules of the God of the land of Israel. And as a result, God sent lions to attack them. And these people were attacked by lions by virtue of the fact that they were behaving idolatrously inside of the land of Israel. He says, "V'hinei ha'kutiyim lo hayu ne'enashim be'artzam be'ovdam et Eloheihem l'shalach behem et ha'arayot." He says the Kutim were not subject to punishment had they continued idolatry outside of Eretz Yisrael in their own land. But uvivoam be'eretz Hashem ve'asu sham kima'aseihem harishonim shalach behem ha'arayot hamimitim otam. It was only when they came into Eretz Yisrael and faced God directly without their intermediary force that was designated for their idolatrous nation, that's when they faced the consequences. V'chein sham b'sifra. And the Medrash therefore also says, V'lo taki haretz etchem, let not the land vomit or spit you out. Eretz Yisrael eina kishar aratzot. This is what the Medrash says. The land of Israel is not like other lands. Eina mekayemet ovrei avera. It does not tolerate people who commit sins. Uvesifri, the Sifri also says the same idea. Ve'ein imo el nechar, that there is no foreign god together with him. Shelo tehei reshut le'echad misarei ha'umot lavo lishlot bachem. That when you live in Eretz Yisrael, no other intermediary force of the other nations can do anything to adversely influence you. Ki'inyin shenemar, va'ani yotze v'hine sar yavan v'gomer. Like it says in the prophecy of the diaspora, where it says, when I leave Eretz Yisrael and the officer of Greece is part of my vision. You know, the vision of Daniel, where he talks about all of these different intermediary angels who are supervisory angels of the other nations. He says, none of those exist once you're inside of Eretz Yisrael. And here I have this underlined because he's now quotes the very same Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi quotes over here. V'hu ma'amaram kol hadar b'chutza la'aretz domeh kimi she'ein lo eloa. That's what the sages meant when they said that anyone who lives in chutz la'aretz is like someone who doesn't have a god. Shenemar latet lachem et eretz kenan liot lachem lelokim. I have given you the land of Canaan so that I can be for you as a god. Ve'omer ki gershuni hayom mihistapech benachalat Hashem le'mor lechavod Elohim achirim. And as David HaMelech said, I've been chased out of Eretz Yisrael being told to worship other gods. So now you understand what the Ramban has told us. What do these psukim mean? If a person voluntarily chooses to live in Chutz La'aretz, he's basically saying, I'm okay with having an intermediary spiritual force between myself and the Ribono Shel Olam. I don't need direct contact with Hashem, which I would normally have living in Eretz Yisrael. Now it's important to note that the Ramban says that this is not contingent upon having a temple. This is not contingent upon having the majority of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael. This is the metaphysical reality that exists in Eretz Yisrael at all times and through every period in Jewish history. Living in Eretz Yisrael gives you a direct connection with Hashem, because Hashem has a direct supervisory role over the land of Israel, which is not true of any other geographic location on the planet. So that's now you understand why Rav Yehuda Levi is prepared to say that it's better to live in Eretz Yisrael in a place which is predominantly heathen than to live in a place in Chutz Laaretz which is predominantly Jewish. And it's also, we understand why it's as if you have no God. What does it mean, it's as if you have no God? It's basically as if you're saying, I'm placing a barrier between myself and Hashem. You've sort of pushed Hashem out of your life to a certain degree. Yeah. Yes?
I'm having a bit of a problem with the nature of the intermediary forces, the angelic forces, the celestial forces, in Chutz La'aretz. Would they not be a force for good if they are under the supervision of Hashem and trying to keep the people in those lands, and each one has its own special mazal, trying to keep them on the straight and narrow, observing the seven Noachide laws?
Not keeping them on the straight and narrow, but maintaining creation. God, because man has free will, God does not allow these angelic or celestial forces to influence man's behavior or man's decisions, unless there's a need for it for the sake of world destiny of the entire world. Sometimes Hashem does that. But on a normal basis, Hashem will not tamper with man's free will. So therefore, these forces are there to be reflective of the nature and the culture and the ideologies of the nations who live there. And each, we're told also in the Medrash that there's a certain cultural flavor that goes along with each and every nation and each and every geographic location. And part of that cultural flavor is due to perhaps the influences of these angelic forces, not to the opportunity to choose between good and evil, but whatever cultural influences, there may be some cultural influences that these angels provide. But again, not to influence man's behavior for good or bad, but there's a certain tam, there's a certain flavor that every nation has. And it seems like from the Ramban that the angelic forces have some role to play in that as well.
You said maintaining creation, in what sense?
Well, you know, there is a destiny. There is a destiny for human history, that ultimately we have to come to the Messianic age. And sometimes God does choreograph certain world events to bring us to that final play, that final stage. But barring that, individual man has free will. That's why King Solomon said, "Lev palge mayim lev melech biyad Hashem," that the heart of a king is in the hands of God, that God will sometimes influence world leaders to make decisions. But other than that, man has free will. Yes?
Does this have ramifications on our being in Eretz Yisrael, even if we don't live there? If we go to visit, do we have a direct connection, or is that only for people who are living there?
I don't know. I mean, it says that if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have this connection. So if you visit there, I guess, during the time that you're there, you have that direct connection as well. But I don't know that we're making those distinctions at this point in this essay. We don't really see a distinction. Let's just do another couple of lines, and I want to go to the parsha. He says, "Va'amru b'tosefta d'avodah zarah." We have also a Mishnaic text which says as follows: "Harehu Omer, v'shavti v'shalom el beit avi v'haya Hashem li leilokim." That Yaakov, right after having his dream of the sulam, of the ladder, he says, I make a pledge that if I'm able to return home safely to my father's house, then God will be for me as a God. And what does that mean? It means that he acknowledged that being in Chutz La'aretz, in Lavan's house, was as if he was without a God. And when I come back to Eretz Yisrael, it'll be as if I do have a God. Let's go on to the next paragraph. Umin ha'inyan hazeh amru b'sifri. We have another idea reflected in the Sifri. Va'avadetem mehira, that God says you will be lost quickly if you don't follow the commandments. Afal pi shani megaleh etchem min ha'aretz l'chutz la'aretz, heyu mitzuyanim b'mitzvot, shekeshetachzeru lo yihyu aleichem chadashim. That God says to the Jewish people, this is probably one of the most dramatic statements that is quoted in the name of the Ramban. He really is quoting a medrash which says that when I send you into Golos, when I send you into the diaspora, I want you to continue practicing the mitzvot so that you should be in good practice when it's time to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, when you look at that midrash in a vacuum, what it sounds like it's telling us is that the mitzvahs that we do in Chutz La'aretz are only being done for practice, just so that we can keep, we can stay in practice and we don't get rusty, so that we'll know how to observe Shabbos, that we'll know how to keep kosher, so that we'll know how to wrap tefillin when the time comes for when the mitzvahs really apply when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. Now that sounds crazy, right? I mean, that sounds like out of left field, because we all know that Hashem did not make most mitzvot contingent upon living in Eretz Yisrael. Shabbos observance is not contingent upon living in Eretz Yisrael. You have to be, I mean, maybe some people would like to excuse themselves by saying, well, I don't live in Israel, so I don't have to observe the commandments. I know sometimes I've heard Israelis make the opposite argument, that because I live in Eretz Yisrael, I don't have to observe the commandments. But if anything, it's just the opposite, right? Because I live in Eretz Yisrael, I have to, because when I'm in Chutz La'aretz, it's all practice. That seems to be what the Medrash is saying. We just have to do the mitzvah to keep, to stay in practice. So what the way the Ramban explains it is, he says, first of all, he gives the mashal of the Medrash. Mashal la'adon shekaas al ishto v'shilecha levet aviha. This can be compared to a patron, a very powerful man who gets upset with his wife, and he sends her away. He says, go back to your mother's house. Amar la hevim mitkashetet tachshitim shekeshetachzeri lo yihyu alayich chadashim. But he tells his wife, you know, even though we're separated right now, I want you to continue wearing jewelry and looking nice, because when it's time for me to come back, when I summon you back, I want you to be used to wearing, to looking beautiful. Right? And as right now, there's no reason for you to look beautiful and to wear all your jewelry, because we're not living as husband and wife. But when the time comes, I'm going to need you to know, to remember what it means to look beautiful. So stay in practice, you know, apply your cosmetics every day and wear your jewelry every day, so that when it comes time for me to summon you back, you'll know what I expect of you. And this is very strange, because essentially what this mashal is essentially saying is that really the mitzvot that we do in Chutz La'aretz don't have any relevance other than staying in practice. So the Ramban doesn't really elaborate on this medrash. Many people think that this is the Ramban speaking, but it's really not. All he's doing is he's quoting a midrash. So it's very important for us to understand that in the context of what the Ramban is saying, it simply means this. Because when you're living in Eretz Yisrael, your mitzvah performance is directly in the presence of Hashem. When you're performing mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz, you're worshiping God and you're fulfilling the commandments of the Torah, but you're not performing directly in Hashem's presence. It's going through an intermediary force. And therefore, it's as if you're distant from God. Obviously, God is everywhere in the world. God is everywhere. But there's this attitude that the Midrash is conveying to us, is that because of that distance, qualitatively, the mitzvah performance is not of the same quality. Yes?
What happens to those Jews who've never done any mitzvahs, or they don't know the concept of mitzvahs?
That's not our business. God has his own way of dealing with each and every person. Every person is a free-willed creature, and every person is judged as an individual based upon their familiarity with Judaism and the challenges that they faced in their own individual life. It's not really for us to judge or to really even know how God will deal with those people. Okay, so that's the idea that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is conveying to us in this very small paragraph that I wanted to share with you today. The Ramban really deserves to be studied more carefully and analytically, but at least you see that this one small paragraph from the Kuzari is elaborated upon quite extensively by the Ramban. The reason why it's as if you have no God in Chutz Laaretz is because you've created that barrier between you and Hashem on a metaphysical plane, because everywhere else except Eretz Yisrael is controlled by intermediary forces.